Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan, Katie, and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled on KLED & Co. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Kale Education and Companies Get Schooled. Today, you just get me. We're going to call these episodes Just Jill, and we're all going to do some mini episodes for you, and we're going to concentrate in some different areas just to give you some little tidbit pieces of information in different areas. And so for my first series that I'm going to do with you guys, I'm going to concentrate on literacy and the foundational skills of reading. This is where my heart is. This is where my work has been concentrated. This is what I wrote a book about. This is very near and dear to my heart. The science of reading, I have been immersed in since 2005, back in the reading first days for some of you who might have been involved in that. We were training letters back then, and it is still fantastic information. So if you're in that program, I hope you're loving it. If you're not in that program, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of overview so you can kind of have an idea of where to start. So this series is great for those of you that are building a micro school and thinking about how am I going to ensure that I have the foundational skills in place to ensure that my kids are all readers. Or it would be great for teachers who are kind of starting to wade into these waters and make sure that you have these elements in your classroom. Maybe your district is just starting this work. Maybe your district hasn't started the work, but you want to start the work. This would be great for you as well. And for those of you that are considering building a micro school, this, as you're thinking about what in the world am I going to put in for my curriculum? This would be a good place for you to start thinking about your English language arts block and how you're going to make sure that all kids that come to you will be readers. So we're going to keep it simple today. We're just going to go over the five components of reading. I'm going to tell you what those are. I'm going to tell you why they're important. I'm going to tell you how they hook together. And then as we go into other episodes, I'm going to tell you about how to assess for those different areas. What can you do to make sure you know where kids are, and then what do you do about it? What are some good programs out there that fit each of these component areas? So the idea is you can learn about the broad idea, then you can narrow into each. You can make sure that you know what to do for assessment. You know how to use the products, and you can put these in place whether you're starting your own school or you're working on it in your classroom. So with that, let's get started on the five components of reading. This is something that has been talked about a lot, and it's been around for many years, and thankfully we're still talking about it. This is definitely best practice. It definitely needs to be in every classroom everywhere, no matter what your classroom format looks like, whether you're a big school, a small school, a home school, whatever it is. Kids have to have the foundational skills to be able to become good readers. So we want their little brains, their big, giant, beautiful, brilliant brains, to be able to eventually get to a place where they can read anything and not have to think about the words on the page. So if you think about the brain as a whole, when a child is having difficulty saying words on the page, all of their thought and all of their brain power is being taken up with learning how to decode. And that's what happens early on. They have to learn how to say the words to get the words off the page. And reading's not fun at that point. It's hard, it's laborious, it's very tiring for them. And their whole mind is really taken up with how am I saying these words, which makes it difficult for them to then remember what the words are and what the words mean and what happened in the story. And so there has to be time in your day where they're working on those decoding skills. Over time, the decoding skills are getting better, which means that's taking up less and less room in their brain, which means they have a lot more room to think about what's happening in the story. So comprehension is always the end goal, always the end goal. But you can't get to comprehension without going through learning how to get the words off the page. And so we're going to talk about that first set of components today. So when we say the five components of reading, we have the five areas, which are phonological awareness, phonics, fluency, vocabulary, and comprehension. Those are the five areas that you need to make sure you have resources for, you have assessment for, and you know how to understand where a child is within their learning progression for each of those. So we're trying to erase the decoding need, essentially. You and I as readers can look at pretty much any word, and it has become a sight word for us. We can read it very quickly. We can read it without thinking about it. Our whole mind is just taken up with, what am I actually reading? What's it telling me? And what do I need to do about it? But early on, that wasn't the case. And if you are reading text today as an adult that's challenging for you, and it's on a topic you don't know, you don't have much background information, you will default back to decoding words that you're seeing on the page. So you'll hear yourself start to hesitate a little bit when you come to a big word you've never seen before. Your mind automatically breaks that into syllables to think about how to say it. And then you're reading around to kind of figure out what the heck it means, right? So we always will go back to those early foundational skills when we're reading something new or challenging, or it has words in it that we don't know. When we're helping kids at a young age, we're trying to get them to that point where all these words can be read quickly and fluently without having to think about that. And as they go up in grades, the content obviously gets harder, which means they're having to rely on some of those early skills to remind themselves how to break down a word that they have never seen before. So this is why it's so important when kids are in junior kindergarten, first grade, these early foundational skills are absolutely key. We have to have them solid. They have to know them. And if they go into second grade and still struggle with some of these early skills, being a reader becomes very difficult for them. And so it's going to take extra time. It's going to take extra intervention. And so if we spend our time up front making sure that some of these skills are solid for them, then we are making sure that they are a successful reader as they grow. So let's first think about phonological awareness. Phonological awareness is the umbrella in which all sounds kind of fall under in different parts. And so it is in the phonological center of your brain, and it's all sound. So I always say to teachers, you can do this in the dark. So you might think about early on, we all kind of went through a lot of rhyming. We did nursery rhymes when we were little. Well, some of us, depending on how old you are and when you're listening to this. Nursery rhymes were a big part of curriculum early on. We did a lot of rhyming. We did a lot of playing with words and a lot of sounds. You do still see that if you are intentional about making sure that those things are happening in your classroom. But the biggest part of phonological awareness is phonemic awareness. And that kind of lives right in the middle of the umbrella. And so there's some skills before that, there's some skills after that. But ultimately, we want children to be able to associate letters with sounds. And so phonemic awareness and phonological awareness activities you can do in the dark. So let's say you are lining up for recess and you say to the kids, give me the first sound that you hear in the word fish. And they can say, they're not looking at anything. They're just producing the sound for you. Raise your hand, put one finger in the air if these two words rhyme. Fish, wish. They can put one finger in the air if they rhyme. These are the kinds of activities that can be done in the dark without any materials. You're just working with words and working with sounds and manipulating sounds. Phonemic awareness in the middle is each individual sound. So phonemic is a fancy word for sound. So phoneme is actually the fancy word for sound. And so you want the kids to hear individual phonemes in the words. So once they get into mid-kindergarten, they're pretty good at being able to do this. You give them a word, the word's fish, they should be able to say fish, fish. They're breaking down each individual phoneme in the word. That helps them associate the letter and the sound and the position in which the letter and the sound is in the word. So as they learn to decode, they learn to look for letter-sound correspondence and blend those words together. So a couple good resources for this. Hegarty is one. You can get the Hegarty program online. It's about $70 per book. It's not very expensive. All you need is one. And it does a daily lesson lesson for you every single day. Now, a little heads up about this. If your kids already know and have mastered the skill within that lesson for the day, you don't have to do that part. Do the pieces that they don't know, keep them practicing. This can be done as a whole group lesson, can be done as a small group lesson, either one. Great resource. They have a book for junior kindergarten, they have a book for kindergarten, they have a book for first through third grade. So depending on where and how you're using it, which we'll get into on another episode, you have something there for every age level that you're working with, and it's a $70 well spent. On top of this, you can go to another website, www.fcrr.org. It stands for Florida Center for Reading Research, and there are many resources here for free. So once you're on that website, fcrr.org, you're going to go to Student Center Activities. You're going to pull that down. You're going to find your grade level, and then you're going to see all those five components we just talked about on that page. Find phonological awareness, find a game that you really like, and you can play that with the child. Everything that you're going to need is on that page. All you have to do is copy it and cut it. It's beautiful, it's easy, it's free, and it's vetted. So nothing on there is going to be fluff. Nothing on there is going to be a waste of time. Those two resources together are going to give you excellent start to phonological awareness. Phonics is the next piece. So phonics means that the child has been able to put the letters with the sounds and can start to blend them together. What you want to think about in a phonics program is the scope and sequence. So every phonics program out there is just a little different. If you're going to do something based in the science of reading, you want to find something that's explicit, systematic, and has a great scope and sequence, which means it starts with a skill and it builds over time as it goes. It's not random. You're not looking at a book and just picking out the pattern that's in the book. You are following a lesson plan that is building intentionally from one sound all the way up to two sounds to blending into blends, which is two letters, two sounds, like S, T, B, L, any two letter sounds, or a digraph, which is two letters, one sound. So S, H, sh, C, H, ch. It's going to intentionally build as it goes. So letters, vowels, I should say consonants, vowels, blends, digraphs. Then it will get into the vowel consonant E pattern, and it'll go into the R controlled pattern, and it'll go into the vowel team pattern. You're going to see an intentional step up from each in that scope and sequence. You want to look for that. So again, you can go back to that free website, www.fcrr.org. It's going to give you great information about games there. You can print them off. You can play them. In another episode, we're going to talk about assessment and how to figure out what kids know within that scope and sequence and what they don't know. But for today, I want you to look for programs that have a good scope and sequence. A couple of my favorite go-tos are the UFLI program, UFLI. It's fantastic. It's also out of Florida. Dr. Holly Lane and Dr. Contess are fantastic people who were recently at a conference that we did here in Missouri talking about their work. So I got to meet them, and they are brilliant ladies who have written a program that really is very simple to use. So when I'm suggesting something to teachers or to schools, I never give them something that's too hard to implement. If it's too hard, if it's too costly, it's frankly just not gonna work, because it all comes down to the implementation. And if implementation is too hard, then it's going to probably fail. So UFLI is a great resource. It will give you everything that you need. It's again a $70 book, one-time investment, very affordable. And it has every lesson plan written out. So all you're gonna have to get in addition to that is some whiteboards and markers, which I'm sure all of you have, some magnetic letters that you can manipulate to build some words. And everything else is on their website and free. You just have to print it out. So if you don't have that resource, great one to look into. Another one that I like to use is Sound Partners, which is very similar to Ufly. It's a little more expensive, but you get a couple more things with it. If you have multiple teachers, you're going to get 3 teacher's manuals when you order it. Last I looked, I think it was $120. It's the same concept of being able to teach the kids in that scope and sequence. It's going to build on their skills, and eventually it's going to ensure that they're good readers that can blend words, they can spell the words. Everything in both of these programs will ensure that they're reading and spelling. So you're getting double bang for your buck with both of these programs. And they're fantastic. They're easy to use. They're affordable for teachers or for micro schools getting started. And again, in a future episode, I'm going to tell you how to use assessment to make sure you start in the right location for those. Third component, fluency. Fluency assumes that you have all these early skills down and they are solid for a kiddo. If they are solid, then they can get the words off the page and they can read fluently. If they're still stuck in the phonic stage, they're not yet fluent, and that's okay. You just have to know where they are and what program you're using matches what. So for fluency, we're assuming not speed. So don't think about fluency as speed. Think about fluency as automaticity. You want the kids to be able to read like a reader. So I always say, you know how your teacher reads to you and how that sounds, and she uses expression in her voice, and she stops at the punctuation, and she makes it sound exciting. That's what a fluent reader does. So a fluent reader has to be able to take all the components of fluency, put it together, and be able to understand what's happening. If you're missing one of those components of fluency, again, you're probably going to have a hard time getting to comprehension because they're just saying the words, they don't have correct phrasing, they maybe aren't stopping at punctuation, which is a big one I see often, and they just haven't quite got down all the pieces that make a really solid fluent reader. So you want to make sure that they can decode properly, they can phrase properly, they can use good intonation, good expression. All of those things go into fluency. Again, I'm going to point you in the direction of the FCRR.website because it has everything that you need again for fluency as well. There's some really great practices on there. There's some really great repeated readings on there. Anything you find with repeated reading programming is good. That's a very solid research strategy. Repeated reading is important. It's important for them to practice how to read phrasing, how to read fluently. So if you see a program that says this is a repeated reading program, that's good. You want to teach them how to do that. You're going to see my go-to program on this one is a little more expensive. And so there's one that's a little more expensive, and I'll give you a free one as well. But Read Naturally is really kind of the gold star to me for fluency practice. It's also going to incorporate vocabulary and comprehension, which is great. So you get a lot of bang for your buck, but it does cost per student. So it's not outrageously high. It would be high for a classroom teacher to implement. That would be something that you'd probably want to go to your school and ask if they could buy some seats for. For a micro school, you're going to be able to do this at about, I would say $500, which I know is a lot when you're getting started. We have our own school, and $500 is a chunk of the budget. So we didn't buy that year one. But we do have it now, and it is worth the investment once you're able to do that. So again, as we go on in these episodes, I'll tell you at what point you should get that and who it helps and how you know they're ready for that. The other one that's free is HELPS, H-E-L-P-S, and that is a repeated reading program. So you can go online, you can put that acronym in, and it's going to give you a program of repeated readings that are really fantastic. So that's one to check out as well if you need something in the meantime. So 3 resources there, FCRR, of course, Read Naturally, and HELPS. The next component is vocabulary. Vocabulary is key, and vocabulary is something you will never, ever stop teaching. So it's something today that as adults, we're always learning new vocabulary. I'm always hearing something or reading something, and then I have to go look it up and say, oh, I want to learn more about that, right? So kids are in the same boat. Vocabulary can get a little complicated, and we can dedicate later episodes to that. But if you research online, tier one, tier two, tier three words, you're going to get a pretty good idea of what that means. Tier one words of vocabulary are words that kids know. They're simple words like walk or baby or stick, things that they have heard a lot over the years. Simple vocabulary, maybe there's more than one meaning that they're learning behind those words, but they generally have a pretty good idea of what those words are. Tier two words are kind of the words you're targeting. So instead of saying, that's a really funny story, you might teach them some other words for funny. Hilarious, hysterical. So you're teaching some of those slightly harder words that are enhancing their vocabulary and giving them a more broad way of being able to explain things. Tier three words are content specific. So if you're teaching about the ocean, you're going to have some very specific words that are tied to teaching the ocean. And those words are content specific, and you're going to help kids understand the words that link to that content. So one website that can be very helpful, besides FCRR, of course, because there's great things on there, so go check that out. But beyond that, if you go to Marzano, Marzano's website has some free information about vocabulary. It has an assessment on there, and what he has done is taken words and put them into domains for each thing that you're teaching. So you can specifically look for the content or the subject that you're teaching, and it's going to already give you the words that are associated with that, which is super helpful. So you'll have some tier two, tier three words associated. You can grab them, you can incorporate them into your unit, and you can help the kids learn. One thing to keep in mind, vocabulary takes time. Kids need at least 12 exposures to a word before they own it. And that's a typically developing child who is catching on to it. If they have any kind of disability or if they're a bit behind, it's going to take even more exposures. So as you're teaching vocabulary in your classroom, you're wanting to think, how can I get more exposures to the word? How can I make sure that they're using the word? How can I make sure that they're actually learning and the word is becoming theirs? And there's some great organizers on that FCRR.web.org website to help with that. So check that out. And the last one for today is comprehension. Comprehension, of course, is the ultimate that we're all trying to get to. I always tell my teachers, you're trying to phase out all the foundational skills. Once they've got them, and you move on. And now you get to concentrate on all the ways that they can deepen their learning and understanding. So comprehension is a big one, obviously. There's a lot that goes to that. It looks different depending on what age you're working on. You're still working on read alouds and comprehension for junior K and kindergarten. You're doing read alouds with them. You're talking about what's happening in the story. You're still talking about setting. They're just probably not reading it, but you're reading it for them and talking about that. So a good comprehension program is going to have, I look for standards based. So I go to my state standards, I figure out what they're asking me to do, and then I look for those things and resources that I have. So again, one last time for today, FCRR.org has great organizers for comprehension. So if you're using a chapter book or if you're using a picture book or whatever it is you're using, there's going to be some really good organizers there to use. If you have a program that you use in your school, look for how your standards are incorporated into that program. And we'll get into that more as we go through this series. So, whew, that was a lot. This is our first Just Jill. I hope that was super helpful for you. We love to help in this area. We help all the time. We work with a lot of schools. We are doing all of these practices in our own micro school and would love to help you get started if you're a new micro school leader and you need help on how to build your ELA program. We're definitely here for you. If you're a teacher that's getting started and you just want to know some really good practices. It's sometimes you hear all these good things, but you're like, yeah, I know, but how do I actually do it, right? We will hold your hand. We will tell you how to do it, and we will make sure that those practices get actually implemented with kids and without frustration. That's always our goal. So reach out to us. You can find us at www.kaleedco.com. That's kaleedco.com. And we are here to help. So let us know how we can do so. And I'll see you back next time for another Just Jill episode with Kaleed & Co's Get Schooled. Thanks, everybody.